here on the air, the WWGH Radio 7th Anniversary Special, Thursday, June the 10th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour. 7 years ago on this date, we came on the air for the first time. The whole gang is here in studio. Linda Sims, Glenn Coble, Terry Tackett, Pastor Craig, Sean Kraft, Angie Evers, Jeannie Evers, and Nate Redman, Adam Lepp. Where is Adam? He's out, mowing the grass. Okay, well, he's out mowing the grass. What can you do? So that's the way it goes, I guess. Well, Pastor Craig, I wanted to come to you for a minute here. Now, you are probably, well, I think, the newest person on the station at this point, but you had listened prior to coming aboard.
Yes, I'm the new kid on the block. I've been on for 8 weeks, and I'd listened for a few weeks before that. But quite honestly, 4 or 5 months ago, I wasn't even aware of the station. And it's just been amazing getting to know the station, getting to know the people here, listening to the programming. And quite honestly, I consider it an honor and a privilege to be a part of this, because what you know, you, Scott, and everybody else doing here is, it's fantastic. I just love what's going on here.
So as a listener, what would you describe the station as?
Well, I can tell you what I tell people that I talk to, and I say it's the best station you can listen to. It's local. It's locally focused. They talk about things that matter to everyday normal people in your everyday life. You have a chance to call in, express your opinion. You can call in. You can win prizes. They talk about, you know, current events, local events. It's just like, it's like the conversations that you would have at work over the water cooler. It's like the conversations you would have at home with your wife after a day at work. That's what, to me, is makes this so amazing that I'm thankful to be a part of.
Well, and it's a fun atmosphere. That's the core of it all, because I believe if you don't have a fun atmosphere, you can't have those type of conversations.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, I spend a lot of time in my vehicle. I own a business. My son and I, we own a business. I have a lot of windshield time, and I look forward every day to listening to this radio station. At the times that I'm not on, it's not about me listening to me. It's about me listening to what's going on the station. And I honestly do look forward to it every morning when I head out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to listen to other people's shows. I like doing that. I like turning it on in the car and hearing what other people are talking about. That's fascinating for me. So it's really fun. Angie, we haven't had Angie on yet. Where's she at? Angie, come on.
Angie.
Well, that didn't sound good. What kind of noise was that? Angie's on, of course, every Friday night from 8 to 10 here on the station. So, Angie, you never thought in 1,000 years, a year ago at this time, that you would be doing a program, a radio program. What do you think now?
Right, probably in 1,000,000 years. I probably would have never, ever thought that. But.
And you listen now.
I do listen as much as I can.
Yeah, and what is your take of the station?
Well, it's fun. You know, I'm still pretty new, so still getting to know everybody.
Is there a favorite moment that somebody else has had or that you have had that sticks out in your mind?
I think, well, when we when you interviewed Shermer.
Oh yeah, Craig Shermer, the man, how do you describe it? It's
the Harding or
Florence Harding impersonator, who's a man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you thought he was a woman, didn't you, Sean? Thought it was a woman when he came in. Oh yes, that was a day, Linda. I'll have to show you a picture of Mr. Shermer.
Oh my!
Sean thought it was a woman.
Whoa!
Yeah, I had to go to the restroom, and she came in. While I was there, and I came back in, and he said, "Who's that woman over there?" And I said, "Well, that's Mr. Shermer sitting over there." She was good, wasn't she?
She was very good.
That was up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We did that.
That was neat.
From the Sirius XM studios. That was another fun day. Fun time.
Yeah,
you two have been busy.
Yes, we've been around.
Yes, yes.
Russell's Point and Amish country and real Amish country.
Right. Yeah.
And
real Amish country and then fake Amish country.
Yeah. Well, then we were at Manhattan, Philadelphia, and Hershey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In 3 days.
Well, I mean, meeting Phil Donahue was pretty amazing.
Yes.
That was a neat moment.
Well, I've tried to describe this. What's your take on that whole thing? Somebody asked me today, they came up to me, this is funny, on anniversary day, and this woman, you could tell she wanted to talk to me, but she didn't know how to approach it. And she kind of leaned in, and she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, oh, okay. Well, go ahead. I don't know what you wanted. And she said, is Phil Donahue as nice as he seems? And I thought, well, that's nice. And she said, what's Marlo Thomas like?
Right.
And, you know, that's nice that you hear that type of thing back from people, that they do pay attention to those things. So what is Phil Donahue really like? Don't take it from my...
He is really nice, and he has really, like, white, soft-looking hair.
She was obsessed with his hair.
Yes, his hair, I mean, it just looked, like, soft. It just looked like cotton, like, soft. I don't know how else to describe it. I should have asked him what he used on his hair, but it was probably something I wouldn't be able to afford anyway, but...
Now, what did you think about Marlo?
Marlo, well, she's very protective of her husband.
You need that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I found her very nice. See, I don't remember there being this tension.
Well, you know, when we got up to the... Like, when we took the elevator up to the penthouse, there's a, like... I don't know, what would you call it? Like a...
Foyer.
A foyer. Okay, so... And then there was, like, a couple doors, and they came out of one. And he actually, like... He, like, I don't know, arm-bumped you or something, and then he shook my hand.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I must have missed that whole thing.
He shook my hand, and I think his wife was probably about to have a heart attack because of the whole, you know, COVID stuff.
Okay.
But she asked, you know, about the vaccine, and I'm like, we're good. But
Phil could not have been nicer. I mean, he took us through his house. He took us up to his room. He stopped and asked us if we wanted any kind of a beverage from his refrigerator. He was great.
Yeah.
Great.
Neat.
Great, great time.
He gave us bottles of water. He asked if we wanted a drink, and we're both like, no. But we did take water, and it wasn't just your typical plastic bottle of water. It was I don't even remember what kind, but it was like a glass bottle, and we both have our bottles of water, of course.
Well, I will tell you this. It was so strange because his office is glass. It's all windows, and you're on, well, I'm not going to say the street he lives on, but you can see New York. It's you can see the whole place because he lives on the top floor. And I'm sitting there doing this interview with Phil Donahue, who's behind the desk, but in the back you can see the skyline of New York. And we sat there for I interviewed him for almost exactly 2 hours, and he never said, are we about done? He never complained for a moment. He was just the authentic article.
Oh. Of course. He was a talk show host, too, right?
He was. I think he from Ohio.
Yeah.
He was born in Cleveland.
Okay.
So I think he understood, but he was just, it couldn't have been a nicer guy, but doesn't do interviews. He's not a guy who likes to do those.
He likes you, though. That's your second time with him, right?
Yeah, well, second or third, but I badger him. And he says that. He said, well, you remind me of me. I used to badger people,
okay,
too.
Okay.
So there you go. That's all you have to do. But that was a great moment, but also, Philadelphia was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun. We went to Hershey. Well, we went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then we went to Philadelphia. Driving in Philadelphia, not so much. But Philadelphia was neat.
And you listen to this station every morning.
Every morning.
Every morning. You start your day out with WWGH Radio.
Yeah. I actually, when I get in the car, I turn the radio on and listen to my dad on the way into work every day.
Yeah, which is great.
So.
And that's a great part of this station at this particular point.
Yes.
Okay, Adam, come on in. We haven't had you in yet. All right, Adam. You came around in January of 2016, I believe it was. What are your memories of the station? He's eating, by the way.
We really are a team effort, boys and girls. My big role was just the website, because we did need to archive the shows, get it linked with our social media presence, also getting emails for all the important people, and even myself, and of course Scott, the other people that are important. And the show, where it kind of depends on the week. I change the theme a lot. This Monday we're going to have someone who knows a lot of old school R&B singers. It'd be quite exciting, so cancel your plans for 8:13 to 11. First you want to hear Scott, the interviewer to the stars, and you want to hear me and my guest Nick. It will be a spectacle of outstanding radio broadcasting. What else would you expect on Flag Day?
Flag Day.
Also Donald Trump's birthday.
Oh, very interesting.
So we'll celebrate Donald Trump's birthday with some great musical memories and other talk and other fun stuff.
Now, what is your favorite memory in the last 5 years, I guess it's been?
Mr. Rogers, certainly. The Mr. Rogers excursion. Just interviewing and meeting and befriending Walt Tsang. Meeting Mrs. Rogers briefly and Handyman Negri briefly. Mr. McFeely, he remembered me. He's got a photographic memory, that guy.
He was on this morning.
And when I saw the movie, too, it was nice because his sons were there. They were at the event, and Joanne, his wife, she recently passed away, she was there. So I grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and I try to live by his principles of be kind even to people that don't deserve it, and there's plenty of them. And Pittsburgh's a beautiful city. I stayed downtown.
Did he say that? I don't remember that part of it.
I stayed downtown at a nice hotel, and I walked and had a beer or two. Went to a Giant Eagle that was a block away. They were older than the Giant Eagles in central Ohio because they'd been there a long time. And enjoyed the mountains and the tunnels driving in. Joined the casino, got a free buffet lunch. Of course, why would I miss that?
Now, I want to bring Terry in because Terry was on this trip with Adam and I. So, Terry, go over there and sit next to Adam for a second because this trip to Pittsburgh to WQED and the Heinz History Museum. Sit down over there, Terry. Now, what are your memories of that particular trip to Pittsburgh?
Well, the obvious one was that we both came back alive.
Well, we did. Yes, we did.
Drove in New York City. I mean, Pittsburgh's like, kind of like Cincinnati with the hills.
Yeah. Well,
City is just something else.
There was other reasons why.
Wasn't there a moment? I mean, I hate to bring this
there
up in an anniversary
tense
part.
Moment there, yeah.
Wasn't there a tense moment about a phone charger?
A phone charger,
I hate to bring this up.
Yeah.
No, this is history.
Right, yeah.
What happened?
Supposedly, he said that I've been his phone charger.
who is that, Walt?
You.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah, me, yeah.
I had no idea what he was even talking about.
Yeah, I thought you were trying to eat it. I wasn't sure.
Gee whiz.
Stick to pizza.
Well, I don't know as many pictures of things as you were taking. I mean...
Well, I can see we're into trouble now. No, but I remember this moment very well because I was interviewing Walt Tsang, who was Mr. Rogers' photographer, who took the picture that's on the stamp.
At the time, you were interviewing the lady that ran the historical museum.
Oh, was I?
Yes.
Okay, I was interviewing somebody.
But then he was after her, you know.
So I'm looking over there at these two, who are supposed to be keeping us on the air from Pittsburgh, and I see Adam pointing to this charger and waving it in Terry's face, and I didn't know what was going on over there.
Yeah.
And later on, I learned there'd been a little tiff. So, Adam, what's your take on that whole little moment there?
In 2021, that was 2018, I believe.
2018, yes.
Your phone charger, it's kind of like losing your license. I mean, it's so essential. We live and die by our phones. And we're a little too dependent. I kind of long for the good old days where you didn't have that horrible mini computer stuck in your pocket, but we're kind of dependent upon it. And it's good and there's bad. I mean, it's good to keep in touch with people. It's great when you're in business. But sometimes you just like to have a little bit of the tranquility and quiet enjoyment and tune out from the rest of the world. As I say, I've been social distancing since before social distancing was cool. Sometimes you like to do that. You know, with the phone, you have virtual social closeness 24/7, 365, 366 during leap years.
Oh, okay. Now,
guess there.
Yeah, I didn't know what happened there for a second.
I mean, I can give you other answers, Scott. That certainly is. That's a big one to me because I love Pittsburgh. It's not a bad drive, and I grew up with Mr. Rogers. And
oh, okay.
Oh, bye-bye, Linda.
Thanks, Linda, for stopping by.
I enjoyed myself.
Yes.
Y'all take care.
All right.
See you.
Bye, Linda.
But, okay, so, but that was a good moment. Now,
the Postmaster General.
Postmaster General was a nice woman.
Yeah, she was just, the interaction with her, because, you know, what do you call the Postmaster General? So I just called her Megan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get that Jerry Seinfeld kind of approach. What do you call her? I called her, she was so sweet. It was, it's like, Megan, hi, can you come over and talk to my radio station for a little bit? And she goes, just a few minutes, honey, I'm talking to this. And she was so sweet. She came over, and she was so nice.
Well, for me also, too, it was great.
That picture of me, Scott.
I got to meet Franco Harris.
I still don't know who that is.
He's one of the greatest running backs of all time.
They were dropping over this guy.
Four-time Super Bowl champion for Pittsburgh Steelers.
I remember him. Well, Scott doesn't even remember Terry Bradshaw.
I know Terry Bradshaw, but I don't know who this guy was.
He was on the same team as Terry Bradshaw.
Did you say that in that town, did you?
I didn't know what was going on. All these people flocking over this guy.
I see him, and Scott's like, who's Franco Harris? And I'm like, dude!
Yeah, he was...
It's the same with me at the Republican convention. I'm like, who was that? That lady looked familiar. They're just cracking up all of them. I'm like, no, seriously, who was it? Katie Couric. I had no idea who Katie Couric was.
How did you not know Katie Couric? She stopped by the table.
She found it on the table and said, boy, you guys got a nice setup here.
Yeah.
And I said, that lady looks familiar. Who's that? And these guys are just busting a gut, man, laughing at me.
Yeah.
Thinking, because I'm the dumbest person in the world. I didn't know who Katie Couric was.
Yeah, she's no Franco Harris, but she's a big deal.
Then I'm following this lady around. I said, man, that's Hoda Begay. You know, so I'm following her around. Come to find out she's from, like, the Mexican TV station.
But you went to the bathroom a lot with Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, Wolf Blitzer.
Well, I had a card keeping track of how many times he went.
Yeah, Wolf Blitzer has an overactive bladder.
He must be behind the scenes.
Carl Bernstein, of course.
Carl Bernstein yelled at you, didn't he?
Yeah, he yelled. And Phyllis Schlafly's son.
Yeah.
Well, that's what good.
He was kind of mean, wasn't he?
He was beyond me.
He was like, mom is tired.
He said, don't keep mother out. And he kept, like, pacing back and forth. And he was like,
yeah, he was
looking at his watch.
Really mean.
Mother has to be home, you know. And
who's the mommy in that family?
I liked her. Phyllis was a nice lady, I thought.
Yeah. But to deal with that guy, whoo, man. And then he couldn't find the place, he said. And we're standing right there waving him down. And
He's pushing
her in her wheelchair down there. And he's yelling at me the whole time, how long is this interview going to be? So you tell him how long the interview is going to be. What's it going to be about? You tell him what it's going to be about. And he's like, well, you guys went over a half an hour. And it's like, I have no control over that.
It was an interesting moment, to be sure. I'll say that. But, you know,
Security wouldn't have been tight, I might have thrown him over the railing.
Throwing him over the railing. Okay, well, that's a kind memory. Now, one thing we did want to get into, last hour we were doing some reminiscences of people on the station who are no longer with us, unfortunately. But certainly nobody typifies that any more than a person you still hear on this station all the time, 3 hours a day we dedicate to this. Charlie Evers, who was a broadcasting legend in this town, had worked at many, many radio stations for many, many years. Obviously, Angie was talking about her listening to her dad every morning. Obviously, she's Charlie's daughter. And Glenn, you got to kind of come in. It wasn't so much engineering, but you got to come in and make sure things were going okay when Charlie was doing his show.
I told everybody I was the engineer.
Lies, Glenn, lies.
I had to make sure that a certain button was hit and another button was turned off. You know, that's kind of engineering.
If you say so.
I love Charlie. I had gotten to know him, I guess, probably when I first came to town. I got to know him through the credit union where I was working, but only slightly. And then the last 2 years, two and a half years, well, the last year and a half, I guess.
Year and a half, probably.
Yeah, I got to know him and just love him, and I understand why the city of Marion loved him. And I miss him every day, and I think about him every day. As I'm leaving here, I listen to his show start up.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so great to have those about 2,500 shows that he did over the years here still around and still able to hear those. They're still fun to listen to.
You know, you had asked what the worst moment in our... The worst moment that I had was when I found Charlie after he had fallen down, and he had scraped his arm so badly. He walked upstairs. I don't know how he got upstairs. Sat down in a chair, and his arm was just covered with blood. And I tried to help him out, and all I was doing was making it hurt worse. But then he basically, we took care of it a little bit, and then he went ahead and did his show.
He did do his show.
Yeah.
He did do his show that day.
At that point, I just fell in love with the man.
Well, and that was, he worked right up till the end.
Sure did.
A month before.
Sure did.
Which I think is the way it should have been.
Yeah, and I think that's the way all of us, those of us who are in our 70s and 80s and even 90s, that's the way we want to go.
Yeah. And it was always fun to be around him. Now, Adam, what are your memories?
Charlie?
Yeah.
Just meeting him on my first show and just a regular guy.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
It just seemed like, my grandparents, my grandfathers, and both my paternal grandparents died when I was very young, before my sister was born. And Charlie kind of seemed like a grandfather, a very grandfatherly figure, and it's like, reminds me that you miss some of your relatives who've passed on. And just his memories, his stories, and that he'll talk to anybody, he will talk about anything, and he's a walking encyclopedia and atlas of the area. Yeah. So, just a good guy to know, and someone you can be, there are people that you say you're proud to call a friend. And there are people like you say you're a friend, but you're kind of embarrassed to be like Glenn. But Charlie, yeah, very proud to say that I knew him.
Like Glenn.
And was proud that he was a friend, and that knowing his family,
He took a shot at you.
Yeah, I know. And I was trying to be gracious.
Gracious in that moment of a shot. I understand.
I met his grandson, Brandon, and, I don't think I'd ever met Jeannie before. And, of course, I know the two daughters.
Well, she'd been to the Christmas parties and the anniversary parties.
Yeah.
One of the neatest things about Charlie is I've continued on with a couple of his guests every month.
Fred and James.
Yeah, and James Anderson said to me, there is nobody like Charlie was as far as knowing what things were going on. He said I could mention any animal and he'd have something to say about it.
Unfortunately,
I do not have that.
He did so much for the area with the Buckeye Chuck and the Evers Arena. Many things that he did, and that's community radio at its best. It's not just going into the studio, collecting your paycheck, and playing records and telling jokes. It's being part of the community, and he did both.
He didn't really kill Buckeye Chuck. It died of old age, right?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Anything. If there is someone that I can think of, people that I'm proud to have called a friend and a business associate, he's up there, and I unfortunately didn't know him that long, but what I did know, I sure liked, and it's glad that we have his family members as part of our team and friends of the station, and that, again, the guests have continued. James, especially, is a fascinating individual.
Yeah,
and I always look forward to having him on the air.
What are your memories?
Oh, I have lots with Charlie. Me and Charlie go way back. way back. No. I'm actually, I'm just saying. When he first started with the radio station, he cracks me up. I listen to so many his shows repeats, and his repeats just crack me up. I just start laughing in the car. One day, I about ran off the road. That was serious. I was cracking up laughing. And we was in the radio, because I have my ham radio license as well, and he gave me my first radio, so that was very nice to him. So, I have a lot of good memories of him. Definitely won't be forgotten.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nate, are you in there? Come on in. Because Nate, there's a picture I think I saw of Nate years ago meeting Charlie. Was that not true? I believe that's true, is it not? When you were a little kid.
That is true. My grandmother took me to WMRN. Oh, it had to have been somewhere in the early to mid-90s. And Charlie was there running the board that day. And he took me in and showed me every button and showed me how everything worked. And what was funny was, I forget exactly what show they were running. I don't know if they were running Rush Limbaugh back then or not. But whatever the show was, he said, hey, watch this. And he shoved the slider button all the way up, the volume full blast, and he said, guess what? Everybody in Marion is wondering what the heck is going on. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know if he didn't like the show that was going on right then or not, but whatever it is they were running, it went out full blast. It was running hot.
And you got to sit in for him a couple of times there.
Here at the station, got to sit in on the Charlie Evers show, and that was a lot of fun. Boy, that was a joy to sit in for Charlie. Nobody could sit in for Charlie, but it was wonderful to sit in his air chair for sure.
Absolutely. Now, Terry, where'd Terry go? Is he still around there?
He's
around. Okay, Terry, what memories do you have here? It's 41 minutes past the hour, by the way, the 7th anniversary here of WWGH Radio. And Terry Tackett makes his way back into the studio.
Man, with Charlie, I mean, where do you begin?
So
many memories. I mean, oh my gosh. I don't even really know where to start, man. There's so many of them. I mean, he just, every day though you seen him, I mean, he always, he had like some kind of, like, joke or something, you know, or maybe about a topic we were doing or something, or, you know, or someone we were interviewing or something. He was just a fun guy, man.
He was a mushroom, a fun guy.
Yeah.
A fungus.
Yeah,
he was fun just, guy.
I don't know.
Never heard that joke?
No, not that analogy.
But... Oh, man. Okay. In any event.
I think he's...
Well, honestly, one fun memory, and I loved it, was the tradition that me, you, him, and Terry Klein with the eggnog.
Oh, yeah, the eggnog at Christmas every year.
Yeah, that was really good.
Oh, and he liked that horrible fruitcake. Oh, that stuff is terrible.
He made us all better.
Absolutely.
I learned a lot from his style, as we had talked about, Scott, a lot of his style is a bit untraditional. He's very folksy. And I'm folksy, yeah, but I'm a wise guy. And Charlie had wise guy moments, but then he could be serious, and he'd break out into some story that you'd always learn something. You'd always feel good. He was a master of feel-good radio.
You're going to be educated, that's for
Again,
sure.
It's the grandfatherly approach. While being a professional broadcaster, it's not easy to do that, the way that he can combine that, and he was a master at that.
You were just telling me the other day, weren't you, Terry, that Adam's show was very folksy.
Oh, yeah, I am folksy, with a lot of wisecracks.
Some wisecracks mixed in there.
With that folksy.
Obligatory.
Very
at least,
folksy.
At least one wisecrack every 72 seconds, yeah. Yeah, I'm
guaranteed
folksy.
Or your money back.
Yeah, that's right.
My infamous sense of humor included at no additional cost.
That's right.
I know you don't miss it.
No.
No, not for love nor money. In any event, the thing that I remember most, not so much the shows. I mean, I listened to the shows because I was usually there while they were going on, but yeah. I just remember...
Dude, him had a great rapport. I mean, you know, the shows you guys did were...
Well, I just...
Funny,
I,
man. We, were, I mean, informative, funny, edgy. I mean, just...
Well, I just like talking during the breaks. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when the real truth would come out.
That's where you had to be there. If you were, you needed to be in the studio for those in-between breaks. That's where you needed to be.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, a lot of, you know, honestly, now, one of the things you were instrumental in, when I think back on it now, was Lulu Roman.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of Hee Haw.
Yeah,
I
like Hee Haw, yeah.
So when she came trampsing into the studio that day with that vivid red hair, what's your memory?
The first thing that came to my mind was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. You know, I watched her on TV when I was younger. Now here she is. I'm literally sitting right beside, you know.
Yeah, she and Don Knotts' daughter. It's because Karen Knotts, she resembled Don Knotts, and she had some of the same mannerisms. And just talking about growing up and... I'm a tremendous fan. I mean, I watch Three's Company probably multiple times every day.
It was my favorite show, bro.
Oh, Three's Company.
Marvelous acting.
I just kind of see physical. I mean, John Ritter was great.
Just absolute genius.
You know, I was trying to think of the moment. You know, certainly being on during the pandemic is memorable to me. But also, you know, there were days after elections when things happened that you did not think were going to happen. There were, when President Harding, when we found out he had a kid. You know, that was a very big moment.
The numerous interviews you've done with his grandson, man, just, I mean...
But he did
information that we didn't know about. That you know.
Yeah, you did Elvis's grandson too, and Babe Ruth's granddaughter.
Yeah.
You just do these grandchildren, Scott. Of these.
That's Babe Ruth's daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah. Okay. Because she just passed away. But Elvis was the grandson, right?
Of no, I believe it was his son. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. One Elvis of the other. Son, his name, but his name was Elvis.
Elvis Aaron. Yeah.
Well, you know.
And one of the kids of the Three Stooges, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah,
Mo Howard's daughter.
So we've done a lot of daughters and sons of famous people.
Kids.
Yeah, and Karen was nice because she came by, and she was just a regular lady. And I had Dick Gregory, too. I'm glad I met him before he passed away. That was very...
Columbus was interesting with him.
Yeah, we were very saddened when he passed away. What an intelligent guy. Just amazing what he could what he could talk about. And just said he used my body as a little illustration of a few things, which I...
What did he say you were that day?
An indigo
child. An indigo called you an indigo child.
I've been Googling that, and I'm still trying to... I don't know exactly, I guess, still what it means.
Dick has went on to the hereafter. Now we can't ask him any further.
I want to get more of a clarification on that. What that was, but.
So when you look back at this whole thing, what is your take?
God, I can't put into words, man. I mean, it's been such a fun ride, man. I mean, you know, to me, like I say, look, you're talking to a dummy here, man. I mean, I have no experience in this stuff whatsoever. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants, man. Really. I mean, I'm having fun, but I don't really know what I'm doing, man. I don't. But I'm having a great time because
I just thought another chair just went. Did another chair just go?
I think.
Holy moly! I thought.
I think it's because the people you surround yourself with. If you have good people, everything's good, and we have that here. So, which could help dummies like me.
Yeah, there are multiple. ingredients to a great radio station: the people, the guests, the supporters, and the signal. And anybody now can broadcast online, so we have a pretty good signal. It goes to Marion County and beyond, and you can be in New Zealand and listen online. So we have all those ingredients. And if you would have told me when I was in broadcasting starting in 81 that I'd be at a station where, you know, you're just sitting there minding your business and Don Knotts' daughter knocks on the door, and she goes on the air and hangs out with you for 2 hours. I'd say, you're crazy.
Well, you're hanging out with the postmaster general.
And that's what we do here, yeah. And you're proud to say you interviewed the first female postmaster general.
Yeah, just different things, man. I mean, you know.
Well, this is the point, and I think this is the idea, most importantly, is programming. I don't think it matters how you transmit it. It's, you know, you could transmit it by just two tin cans.
Right.
If you don't have good programming, content, you don't have anything.
Yeah,
and that's where it all comes from.
Yeah, what we offer is good. The experience that we all have, and everybody's a piece in the puzzle, and people that we've added. And I, you know, hats off to Craig and Steve in absentia. I guess that's the word. We have great religious programming too. I want to put a nod out to that. And even if you have different beliefs, it's good to listen. It's enriching and it's educational. And just like with our guests, we have political people from all sides of the spectrum, and people, you know, like me that are eclectic. So even if you don't agree, you know, Sam Donaldson, you just have to love his legacy. You know, he was on this morning. He gives you a surprise calls on your birthday, Scott. I mean, what he's offered to this station, whether or not you agree with his political philosophies, which he makes no secret of, you have to love his perspective and what he knows from all the reporting that he's done. And just love his voice, the way he talks. Some of these people, and I use that as a role, as a model, as to how I deliver my
turn that mic a little bit. I think you flipped
my stuff over the air.
Did you flip
and
the switch off?
Always love to hear from Sam Donaldson.
Just remember, first rule of microphones. Just make sure they're on.
Yeah. Your microphone always has to be on, kids.
Yeah, Dick Cavett today was very candid. He was more lively than he usually is. He had a few cups of coffee or something. He was lively.
When you're trying to get
in there, Terry.
When you're trying to get Dan Rather, just remember. you have to get to his little boy.
There are little people involved with Dan Rather. There certainly are.
I mean, the funny stories we hear. I mean, I still giggle about Mrs. Garrett having to catch her train. I wish she wouldn't have passed away, because not that I love her as an actress. I would like to ask, is that really a true story? Because I don't really, I just don't believe that. It's like the old, you know, when you're on a date and it's not going well and, you know, your grandpa went to the hospital or something. That's kind of what it sounded like. But you're telling me, Scott, you believe the story. You think she really had to catch a train. I just heard it. It's like, no, Mrs. Garrett would never say that. She would never lie about catching a train, but maybe Charlotte Ray would.
I don't know.
Because it was just the way she said it, it just didn't seem natural. And I understand she's a gifted actress. You would think as an actress she could say it, and it would be believable. But it just did, something just didn't seem right. But it was, I still laugh about it. I'm going to laugh about that for a long time. Just like I'm going to just have this feel-good feeling about Megan, the Postmaster General, well, just saying, calling me honey. That was so sweet.
Bill Macy. I always liked Bill Macy. I thought Bill Macy's voice was
amazing. Oh, yeah, and loved him on Seinfeld. Yeah, you just feel sorry for him. It's the way Maud bossed him around. And it was her third husband. And, you know, then he got a drinking problem. Was it because of Maud? I mean, overbearing. And then being friends with Conrad Bain. And Rue McClanahan, just all the good acting in that show.
Right.
The Golden Girls connection with that show. So yeah, I love Bill Macy was such a good guest. He was so funny. It was sad when he passed away, because he seemed fine. I was very saddened. But he's got a great legacy.
Give me a pillow. Give me a pillow over there, Terry. I need a pillow.
Yeah.
All right.
You're dozing off there.
Dozing off a little bit over here. In any event, here's where we are. We do want to thank Domino's Pizza. We have not done that tonight for the pizzas. They always do a wonderful job with our Christmas specials and anniversary shows. Our telephone number, 740-383-3030. Have we broke into the cake yet?
We haven't.
The L&P Cake Shop. Thank you. Telephone number, 740-382-1991. Thank you for all of that. Now, in the 8 minutes we have left, Adam, we got about 30 seconds here. Now,
I'll talk fast. I'll talk like the FedEx guy. Remember the FedEx guy in the FedEx commercial? I'll talk about FedEx.
You remember that, right, Craig? I'll talk just like him.
You've already burned 10 seconds.
We're eating quick. Okay, what is your idea of the legacy of this station? Because one thing we did was tape everything, so at one point this all will go to the Historical Society and be there 100 years when we're all gone. They'll be looking at this and listening to this stuff. So what's the legacy in your idea?
The diversity of guests, diversity of political opinions, and the celebrity guests that we had over the phone or Skype and in person, and just me, people that I idolized as a kid, again, the Mr. Rogers people, meeting Mrs. Rogers, even more so now that she passed away, Mr. McFeely, I mean, just what a regular guy, remembered me when I went to Pittsburgh. That was so touching. And, you know, Don Knotts' daughter, it's just the daughter, but Don't undermine that, because she was great. And again, she had so many mannerisms and looks that reminded me of him. And what a great actor. And Dick Gregory, I mean, I did not know that much about him prior to joining the station. I'd heard of him. I knew he was a, you know, wise guy like myself, and had so many little stories. And just meeting him, again, the way he used my body in kind of a demonstration, that was just awesome. And I'm glad that I met him before he passed away.
Terry, what's your... What's the legacy? If you were one of your great grandchildren is pulling up the archives of this station 100 years from now, what's the legacy?
Well, I'm hopefully looking down from it. No.
Yeah.
I just think they're the same thing. They're just going to remember that everybody that came on, we respected their opinions. I mean, they had their own opinions. We didn't judge anybody. I mean, you know, we just let people be themselves.
Pastor, what do you think? You've been listening for a short time now, but when people access all
he's
this stuff
tall.
Years from now, what do you think?
I think the thing that's going to be important years from now is that people are going to be able to really hear how people who were famous, who were icons, who were whatever, are just down-to-earth, regular people that you and them, everybody could have just an everyday conversation with. You know, just talk about everyday things. And, you know, regardless of our station in life, we all have a lot in common, and that comes through in the interviews. It really does.
I've always thought the one thing that should be said, two things, actually, my mottos in life are, sure. Number one, I never learned anything when I was talking, and I still hold on to that. I believe that's true. When I know what I know, and I can say it, yeah. But if I'm listening to you, even if I don't agree, I'm learning
right.
Your opinion.
Right.
And the other thing is, we are all always more alike than we could ever be
yeah.
different.
Yeah.
And then once you know those two things, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Scott, one of the things I've learned from you in the short time that I've been here, and that is if you want to talk to somebody, just ask.
Yeah.
I would have never a year ago envisioned me having a face-to-face conversation with a retired four-star general from the United States Air Force. But yet I did. And it was simply a matter of just asking. And you find out that they're a person like everybody else. And
to me, it just seems like they're flattered that you ask them. They want to tell their story.
They really do. I mean, they really want to. And, you know, and she said after the interview, she said, that was awesome. I'd like to do it again. And, you know, it's just having a conversation, one person to another person.
I think it's a comfortability thing. You know, people feel comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Nate, what do you think about this? What 100 years from now, if people are pulling this station up at the Historical Society and listening to these shows in their time, what do you think the legacy is going to be?
Well, I think it'll be known as what our subtitle is, and that's Marion's Talking Place, but I'll add to it, I think it is done with style and class.
There you go.
And I think that's what it'll be known as.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
Sean, what do you think?
I think it's going to be, the kids, you know, from years from now, or, you know, older people that pull up the archives, I think they will probably laugh their head off. Because there's a lot of good laughter here at the radio station, so. And they'll get a lot of education, what went on in, the 20s, 2020s.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Angie, what's yours? I know, come on over. Well, you've got kids, so what are they going to be pulling up years from now? What will be the memory?
Oh, well, they probably wouldn't pull any of me up. They would probably just pull up Grandpa.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be it.
And isn't that nice that there are shows of them on with Grandpa?
Oh, yeah.
For years and years.
Right, and, you know, just the other day I heard a show with Brandon and Grandpa. And I like those. It was when Brandon had just left. He must have left for the Air Force and then came back. And it was his first time being home. And Grandpa had him on the radio talking to him about it. I just heard it like yesterday morning maybe. Or today. I don't remember. This week. So I thought that was neat. And Brandon's home right now. So.
Very nice. Well, what I want to say, because we're closing in on the 2-hour mark here, is that, 7 years is a long time. And what I said this morning, I really do mean. There are certain points that you think that's a point that's important. And I always think about Mary Tyler Moore. I like the show, but it's nothing that sticks out in my mind. But I always remember Mary Tyler Moore in an interview one time saying her show ran for 7 years. She's the one who said it needed to be over. They weren't telling her to leave. The show at that time had won more awards than any other show on television. It is still regarded as one of the greatest of all time. It never was the number one show on television, but it was consistently funny every week, and it holds up better today and won more awards than shows that were number one at that time. And so when I think 7 years, I think, well, this is how long Mary Tyler Moore was on. So no matter what happens from this point out, I think this, to me, was a seminal moment. And we'll go on, obviously. I'll be here tomorrow morning. But that's a long time to continue on and do things 3,000 semi hours later. But the people here are important. It's always important to mention this at anniversary time. Pastor Whitaker's not here. He's been with us for a long time. He does great work, and we certainly all appreciate that. Mary Ellen Withrow comes on anytime I ask her to. She always has. She's been a pal, incredible, showed up on election night, stayed here till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, has went to the root beer stand and sat with me. We were sorry that she couldn't make it because of weather tonight. Ted Williams, who announced he was running for president on this station and got national attention when he did it. And that was very early on in our run here. And I do think of all the people who are still here. You know, Adam does a tremendous job with the obituaries and the website and giving us that presence. And Sean, we were just up at the tower Monday night working on the antenna and the transmitter and the computers up there. And he's been here since day one when we were installing all that stuff. So there's that. And goes out of his way when he knows we're off the air to get us back on the air. That's very important. And Terry, who will come in and anytime you need something for a party, you know, you say, Terry, I need you to make this call. I need you to do this. And he'll do it. And we love having Pastor Craig here because it's a new voice and also somebody who listens to the station, and that's a great thing. And I remember when Nate first came aboard, you know, Nate came on and it was a game show, and radio doesn't do game shows like that anymore, and I love listening to that show every Wednesday. So Nate is just a tremendous broadcaster and a lot of fun. And Glenn, who comes in here and really lets his opinions flow, and that's scary to do for a lot of people. A lot of people are afraid to tell their opinions flat out because they're afraid that they will be judged for them. And Glenn lets it rip, and I like that. I think that's a very nice thing, and I would encourage anybody else to do that. So Linda, and Linda has been here since day one, one of the nicest people. I would say, Linda, could you go to Democratic headquarters? Could you go to Republican? Could we move your show to Monday? Could we do this? And I never have heard Linda complain in 7 years. I've never heard her complain about anything. And there have been so many other shows. And like I say, last year was interesting with the loss of Charlie and Martha and Marge and Paul Savage, I think the prior year. Those people helped build this station. So what really this station is a cooperative of people. And that's what radio is. Radio is people. That was said a long time ago. Radio, more than any other medium, is people. And I, at Christmas and New Year, or anniversary time here, I always think there is not a different group of people I would have rather been around. And I think about the people who have left and went and done shows other places, or who have left the planet at this particular point, a little bit of them is still always around and part of the legacy of that station, and that brings my speech to an end. And I think that's what it is that this is people who get along, people who like each other, and Nate said it earlier, it is a family, and the family will continue on. There we go. So happy anniversary from everybody here. Happy anniversary! All right, everybody have a good night. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
We'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going, and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address.